We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 27, which is entitled Attack by Chanda Vega on the City of Puranjana. Saiva Puryam Madhubuk Panchaleshu Svaparshadai Upanitam balim grinan Strijito navidat bayam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. King Puranjana collected taxes in the city known as Panchala and thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and that he was reaching the point of death. Please repeat. King Puranjana collected taxes in the city known as Panchala, and thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and that he was reaching the point of death. Report. Government men, including kings, presidents, secretaries, and ministers, are in a position to utilize taxes collected from the citizens for sense gratification. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that in this Kali Yuga, government man, Rajanyas, and those connected with the government, as well as exalted government ministers, secretaries, and presidents, will all simply collect taxes for sense gratification. The government is top heavy. And without increasing taxes, the government cannot maintain itself. When taxes are collected, they are utilized for the sense gratification of the government officials. Such irresponsible politicians forget that there is a time when death will come to take away all their sense gratification. Some of them are convinced that after life everything is finished. This atheistic theory was conceived long ago by a philosopher called Charvaka. Charvaka recommended that man should live very opulently by either begging, borrowing, or stealing. He also maintained that one should not be afraid of death. The next life, the past life, or an impious life, because after the body is burned to ashes, everything is finished. This is the philosophy of those who are too much materially addicted. Such philosophizing will not save one from the danger of death, nor will it save one from an abominable afterlife. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananaya Shalakaya Shakshuram Nuritam Smashi Gurve Namaha Om Vishnu Daya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Sattva Vibhasa Swamiti Namni Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Prasthaya Mutane Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tana Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharyane Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschacharya Satalyane. So here we are in the pastime of King Puranjana, who is nobody else than King Prachina Barisat. But it's completely different when one hears, when somebody speaks to you in the form of an example, an allegory, then when one would say you have to do like this, you are it's nonsense what you are doing, it's a complete different approach. It's from the point of view of communication, it's a much better way to communicate, to instruct somebody. So Narada Muni is using that allegory here, that story of King Puranjana, in order to correct King Prachina Barisat. He is using a story, but he is actually speaking about King Prachina Barisat's lifestyle and the eventual consequences it will have when he continues like that. So then King Puranjana, after coming back from the forest, his beloved wife, where he was so attached to, she was not in a very good shape. She was disturbed with the fact that he had gone to the forest, etc. So then King Puranjana did anything and everything to again please her and to bring her back into his circle of influence, as we say, but with a material desire, with a desire to enjoy sex, which then they turned into making children, and then they got 1,000 sons and 100 girls, and then they all grow up and he married them. And so now we are at a point where in this verse it is said, several things are said, but it is said that King Puranjana, in order to live such an opulent life, is basically taxing the citizens and is using the results of the taxing, the money, to sustain his big family and to live a life of sense gratification. But also it is said that that time is passing very fast, and that death is more close to him than his birth was to him. So he is heading towards death. So this because this style of collecting taxes, we all know about that, and we are all confronted with that. As Srila Prabhupada makes this, although it's related to King Puranjana, he immediately relates to this world, to the today, because there has never been so many taxes as today. Today there is a tax on everything. You can, I don't know, if you have to make a list, it will be somewhere between 50 and 100 different taxes that the government is you know, is asking the people to pay on anything and everything. The most recent ones, they are like you have to pay now a tax on the when your car has more CO2 exit than a certain required maximum, then you have to pay a tax on that. If you don't have a septic tank which is up to a certain level, then the water, the tax on the water is higher than somebody else who has such a system, and on and on. These are just a few more recent taxes, but every year, you know, a few more taxes are introduced, and that's why Srila Prabhupada says that at some point people will just drop everything and go to the forest because it becomes unlivable. There are so many people who are living on the back of other people, but these people who are then working hard, they at some point they also realize, you know, what I'm doing. I'm working here hard 8 to 10 hours a day, 300 days in a year, and basically, you know, I'm paying mainly taxes, and I have just enough for my living. So why shouldn't I do as so many people do, just live from the government and you know, and don't have to worry, don't have to take all this responsibility on my shoulders, and I can just, you know, live like so many people do. So the society in that sense is strenuous for towards a big number of people, and the politicians, because they are the highest in rank, so they make all these laws, and if you look at the highest salaries are the ministers and the government people. And also they have special remunerations, they have a special pension and special life security. All these systems are in place because they are the first ones to put it in place. So naturally they are not so selfless as we learn one should be. So they think of themselves first and the rest afterwards. So that is the present system of the government. And in this way they fill their pockets. And besides that, they have some, besides their regular salary, which is 10-20 times more than other people, they have these special occasions, like if in the Minister of Defense, when he orders 50 helicopters for the army, then the factory, in order to get a deal, he gives a little share of maybe 3%, maybe 5% of the deal to that minister who gives the order. So in this way he gets, you know, if 50 helicopters is 20 million, 5% is 1 million, so 1 million goes into his pocket, his bank account in Switzerland or whatever, and he has some extra pension to enjoy himself. I don't say this is the regular way, but it has been proven, because once in a while it comes out in the news, and on many occasions this type of incidents has been come to the surface, so one can conclude that there are many that did not come to the surface, and where people were considered themselves more successful in this type of dealings. So this is the type of government we have. This is the type of attitude the people have. Our leaders. These are our leaders. Our leaders are, you know, first thinking of themselves, and second of to their family members, neighbors, people they know, and in the last place to all of us. So this is the deal we get in Kali Yuga. And so this was also how King Puranjana, who was living a materialistic life, this was also how he was dealing. He was getting the taxes, and then his life was a life of enjoyment. He was very attached to his wife, although in one sense, I mean, he got many children, and the children were children of good quality. So that was very nice. At the same time, Narada Muni is pointing out that he is too much busy with temporary things, and he is too much busy with what gives the strongest nut in the heart, which is called Hridaya Granti, is the nut in the heart, materialistic nut in the heart, which is increased when by him indulging in sex life, in sex activity, because that's why we see in all serious spiritual movements on the path of self-realization, there has to be a regulation, there has to be a restriction on the level of sex activity, because people indulging in sex life, they, as a natural effect, they will identify much stronger with the body than people who restrain, who regulate sex life. Because the activity in itself is such that it gives more, it feeds the nut in the heart. The materialistic nut in the heart is feeded. And the climax, there are many activities we can do in order to become more bodily conscious, but the major activity is the sexual activity, because there we are really saying I am the body. In sex life, that's what is the expression in sex life, and the result of sex life is I am the body, and I am enjoying through my body. That's either we don't realize that there is a difference between me and the body, or we realize and we think that this is the way I can enjoy. But this is also the way that the heart nut in the heart becomes stronger, and the identification with one's body it becomes harder, becomes stronger, and also one sees one's wives and one's children more different, in a different way than we normally should see them. The real understanding is that we get this body according to our karma, and then we live in this body for this lifetime, and we make the best out of it. Of course, we have to carry certain things from our karma, certain things related to our mind, but we learn to deal with it in a way that we stop thinking that we are this body, and we start realizing that we are an eternal servant of the Lord. So the opposite action, and that's why serious religious movements, they are restricting, they are inspiring their members to restrict sexual activity, because there is such a, as a result, it's so heavy on the consciousness, it drags you completely to the bodily consciousness. And also it brings the misconception that I am the enjoyer. But in reality, Krishna is the enjoyer. So these are opposite elements. So if we act on sex life, means I'm saying I am the enjoyer. And if we act in bhakti yoga, then I should be saying, you know, whatever I do is for the pleasure of Krishna. You cannot have sex and say, illicit sex, and say, you know, it's for the pleasure of Krishna. This is bogus. So, so this is an important point for on the path of self-realization, to understand what feeds the materialistic nut in our heart. That's why Srila Prabhupada points out here that there is a philosophy about it, Sharvaka. This atheistic theory was conceived long ago by a philosopher called Charvaka. And Charvaka is one of the Hindu philosophies, although it's not mainstream Hindu philosophy, but it is considered as one of the Hindu philosophies, which is it's not orthodox, it's heterodox, that's how it is called. And this this Charvaka, this materialistic leader, he developed a philosophy quite different from the Indian philosophy. He didn't accept that there was reactions for one's activities. This is something that is accepted by all the Hindu philosophies, but not by, that's why it's called heterodox. It's not orthodox Hindu philosophy, it's heterodox Hindu philosophy. But he was propounding that one should not believe in karma, and one should believe that when this life ends, everything is finished. And naturally, what will people do if one thinks that there is no reaction for one's activities, and that there is no, you know, check and balance at the end of this life? Then naturally people will want to enjoy to the max. And that's why, you know, he says, you know, you enjoy through begging, borrowing, or stealing. Just go ahead all the way. So that's his. So it's an atheistic, it's an climax of an atheistic, materialistic philosophy, where there is no consideration of any reaction for what one does, and where there is no eternal spirit soul. So it's all completely opposite, basically, to Krishna consciousness. But somewhere or other he got some following, and of course we see the Western world is a very good example of following this without putting his name forward, Charvaka. The Western world is going very much in that direction, you know, of being atheistic and being thinking that there is nothing else and trying to enjoy to the max. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki. In a lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, if one has understood liberation, then that is very good. But if one is still attracted to sex life, or even the thought, or even the desire, if one is finished with material life, then liberation can be there. But if there is still some or other, some attraction to sex life, then liberation will be put on the shelf, will be delayed. So, in other words, he is encouraging us as his followers to work on that by taking up the process of Krishna consciousness, because that is the perfect process to undo this materialistic knot in the heart, is to do everything to please the Lord and to please the other devotees and to please the spiritual master, because by pleasing in a bona fide way the Lord and his devotees, then that has exactly the opposite effect. Then one undoes this, then the identification with the body melts away. Just like ice melts away by the sun, so the self-identification of the body, materialistic thinking, materialistic feeling and materialistic willing melts away by engaging in devotional activities, by chanting the Lord's name with attention, by serving the devotees, by trying to do everything for the service of the Lord. Our activities from morning to evening, offer them to the Lord. Our thinking, offer it to the Lord. Our words, offer them to the Lord. And in this way, the knot gets undone, and then we are on the right path for liberation, for becoming pure devotees, for becoming eligible to feel at home in the spiritual world. Because what would one do in the spiritual world if one would go there with this identification, I'm the body? One would be totally, that's why, you know, the arrangement is such that one is not allowed to go there, because it just, you know, he would feel very much out of the crowd. Because, you know, one has a complete different mindset. So I will stop there if there are any comments, questions. Yes, please.
couldn't.
Taxation. I guess so. I mean, the principle of tax is not. I don't think the principle of tax is wrong by itself. What is wrong is that it has always existed, even in the Vedic system, as far as I know. What is wrong is that people use it to fill their own pockets. That is wrong. But even for the tax collector to have a decent, you know, to be able to live in a decent way, there is nothing wrong with that. But to, you know, to get exaggerated salaries, which are 20 times bigger than other people, that is wrong. Or to take shares from deals with companies, with the government or whatever, that is cheating. And in this way, you know, the people enrich themselves, and it's taken away from the general mass of people. That is all wrong, and that they will, at the time of death, they will face. You know, they think there is no checking point. They think when they can cheat, when they can get their 1 million euros from a deal with whatever, buying this or that, or making an autostrada or whatever, they think that they, when they got away, that they were successful. But you know, they're only successful for a very short of time. And at the point of death, there is the real checking point. And then they go back into whatever species of life they deserve. So that's that type of success is you know, is success in the mode of passion and ignorance. And that is what is wrong. I mean, the principle of taxing, I don't think that can be avoided. There has to be, you know, there will always be people who are unable, who are disabled, and they will need support from those who are able. So call it tax or whatever, but that type of things should be there. But the leaders should be real leaders in the sense of, you know, I'm concerned for you in the first place. And they will be taken care of naturally. But the problem now is they're concerned for themselves. And they do some lip service so that they get the votes. But the real concern is for themselves and their direct family members. So, but that doesn't take away that, you know, the tax system is bad. Yes, Boo. Yeah, there might be, I mean, for some period of time, when we shift from one system to the other, one may need some time for himself to get, you know, to make this shift. We have noticed that in our own life, and when you come from materialistic life to a devotee life, then, you know, there are certain limitations, and you have to, your mind and your system, you have to get used to it a little bit. But then after we are settled in Krishna consciousness, then the idea is again to give, not to keep taking. You know, it's give and take. It's both. We are taking spiritual knowledge from Srila Prabhupada. We are taking association from the devotees. But we are giving association to those who are in ignorance, and we are giving them knowledge, and we are teaching, and we are and we are living a simple life. So in this way, you know, we ultimately will become an example and a solution for this world. Because this world, you know, is going bizarre. It's going, I mean, there are more and more natural disasters, and there has never been so many disasters. And now today the planes are not flying in half of Europe, because in Iceland there is the volcano erupted, and because of all the black clouds with dust particles, so the airplanes, they cannot fly. So that's, you know, it was already yesterday, today, maybe tomorrow, you know. So it's one disaster after the other, because we keep making heavy karma through, you know, abortus, through slaughtering cows, through to prostitution, sex, etc., etc. It's going full speed. So the other thing is not going to change unless we change. You know, Mother Earth is reacting on our activities. So unless, you know, something changes in the world, this eruptions, or it will become a war, or whatever will happen, but karma has to be balanced. So whatever way, through nature, through war, through diseases, through suffering, it has to find a balance. And the world is going full on. It's you know, full speed towards more sense gratification. Because now bigger areas like China, they are waking up, you know, CIS, India, you know, they are waking up to the call of material life. So I don't know what is Krishna's plan there. And obviously there is a great plan for Krishna consciousness, a great future for Krishna consciousness. It's the best choice, the best profession, most successful profession one can choose at this time, because there is so much work. There will be no, no unemployment for Krishna consciousness. Yes. I think it should not be abused, in the sense that it's not that we should take money from the government and then we live an easy life. But if one is really disabled and one has the right to get that money and to live, and then you practice your Krishna consciousness. It's a little bit more sensitive when it's like when you get like unemployment money, and then you live in the temple and you avoid to be employed. There is some more, that's getting more difficult to defend as a devotee. But if one is unable for whatever physical or whatever reasons, and one gets some support from the government so that one can assure a place to live, and from that place, with whatever capacities one has, one does service, I don't see any problem with that. But to take money from the government for unemployment and then trying to avoid as hard as possible to not get employed, to live an easy life as a devotee, between brackets, that's getting much more touchy. Manohar. This type of tricks they are. Yes, Prabhu. I think the process of Krishna consciousness is the way to conquer lust, because we are all bitten by the same insect, you know. So the medicine is just general medicine. It's not like specific doses for one and not for the other. So we have the same disease. So we all have the same medicines in that sense. So and the medicine is Krishna consciousness, and then try to do it as sincerely as possible. And then according to that, there will be reciprocation, and struggle will be there also. So we'll stop here. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai.